The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Done.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined by the lowly.
Oh, it's coming back around. Yeah.
Times.
Give it to me.
Equals our favorite piece of shit, little bailiff, Jake Hurwitz.
What's up, everybody?
Bailiff Hurwitz is a justice in Boston.
Yes.
That's true.
I can practice in Boston. You will not speak to me this way in Massachusetts.
But we are not in Boston. Thank you to everybody who came out to the Wilbur and saw the first ever D&D Court live.
It was so fun. We want to do more.
It was a blast. Yeah. We want to do more. So tell your friends how good of a time you had so we can do that.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we shall do more auditorially, audio-wise? Are these the words I'm looking for?
We'll do more podcasts, Murph.
Yeah, let's do more podcasts. Why not? Shall we podcast?
Yeah, we're going to do them in an auditorium.
Let's like Murph's do it.
Yes. I'm ready. Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner presiding. And if we were in Boston, Justice Hurwitz would be presiding. Our first case comes from Donnie. Donnie writes, beloved justices and bailiff.
Great.
Not really. I present the case of the ever-aging party. I am playing a TTRPG other than D&D, and therefore I do not have the same grasp on the rules of the system as I do with 5e. So imagine my surprise when I find out our game's passage of time means our characters are actually aging about a year every few sessions, and that my aging character is going to start experiencing penalties for being too old to adventure,
That
my character, who is nearing her 50s, has to use the quote find an error mechanic I've been ignoring if I want any of my XP or magic items to survive the switch to a younger person.
What?
Find an error?
Judges, should
find
the DM,
an error mechanic?
There's a mechanic.
You're
for
playing
it.
A fucking roguelike TTRPG? What the hell?
Should the DM have made this facet of the game well known when I joined the group, or should I simply acknowledge that senility comes for all of us?
I think if you're the DM, you do, and someone's like, hey, I want to play a 50-year-old, it really is on your shoulders to say, cool, we age every couple of sessions, so if you want to not deal with penalties, start younger.
Yeah, yeah. It feels weird to be like, all right, go create a character. Don't worry that much, because she'll die, so.
Yeah.
Just like, the most important thing is passing on your genetics and XP.
I get like time jumps and stuff. I don't. Maybe this is just part of the game, right? And you play a bunch of different characters and you play like almost your character's line or something like that, which is kind of interesting. But it does feel like everybody should be in on that.
That feels like a primary function.
That feels that feels like the line that you say, hey, we're playing this campaign. By the way, you're playing a lineage, not a character.
Yeah. One of the things that separates this from regular 5e is that you'll be dead in a year.
They didn't name the system they're using, so it's possible that this isn't the DM doing it. It's possible that this is baked into a specific system.
Yeah. Right. This sounds like I this mechanic is totally believable to me. For like
find an heir?
Yeah. No, I mean, there are like so many video games that do things like this. If you're playing like a roguelike or a game like that where you're dying a lot, there's like sort of a mechanic built in where you will like, you know, it will be like your heir playing and they'll have like slightly different proficiencies and things like that, but they'll carry on some of the things.
So maybe
so
that's
it seems like inspired by that or like, you know, developed in parallel. Yeah, I do think like maybe your DM should have given you like a little more of a heads up that you need to fuck.
Yeah, it seems like you should, you know, I don't know what this game is, so I don't know if this is a really necessary part of it, but I feel like things should be thrown out if they're not fun for everybody.
Yeah.
Is everybody psyched to age? Does everybody want their character?
Hands up if you're excited to die.
Yeah. Does anyone want to retire while at the table?
I feel like that's one of the things you play these games to escape.
Yeah, totally.
Your mortality.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say, this is like the kind of, sometimes there's realism that can feel fun. This is the kind of realism that I don't know would get me hyped show up.
Like, I'm down to not ignore coin weight.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't want to be like, okay, your character, the muscle around their knee is starting to deteriorate. Mm-hmm. Your speed is reduced.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Like, I'm dealing with that in real life. I don't need to do that right now. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I get a +1 knee brace.
I understand where this person is coming from, too, because sometimes I like to play a character that's, like, older or something like that to kind of play, like, the sage character.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to have them just, you know, die of old age after a few sessions, this feels so, it feels like the whole campaign would be consumed by that, right? Just everyone aging so fast.
It's pretty heavy thematically.
Also, that's what I'm saying. Like, how can this be anything but just everyone panicking about aging? Yeah. Like, in real life?
In real life. Which is, like, it's not like, oh, your character is aging, so, like, pass your things down, they're gonna die. It's like, I feel like the penalties for being too old, that makes it so much worse, because now you're just playing a character that's getting weaker and weaker every single week until death.
It's also pretty debatable, because I feel myself thriving as I get older.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking that doesn't happen to everybody.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're thinking about like a fighter or something, that's the equivalent of like a real world like athlete, maybe, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's such a small time frame.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
People are in their prime for like 8 years or something, and that's it.
Yeah, there's a lot of professional football players that retire at like 27.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get myself in the mindset of like, Tuesday night, you're going over to your friend's house. It's been a long day at work, and now you're going to spend 4 hours.
Yeah, and now your fighter just turned 40.
Yeah,
and you need to think about putting down the axe.
No,
I don't know.
So I Googled Find an Heir, RPG,
okay.
And something came up. So it could be, because I want to make sure that we understand if it's part of the system, what it's supposed to mean to the system.
Uh-huh.
I found one called Hag.
Okay.
You are a hag. You live alone in the darkest parts of the forest. You spend your time making giant soups and collecting poisonous herbs. Your name scares away the children from the local village. You are not well liked, but the time has come for you to pass on from this world into the next. You can't just die, though. You need to find an heir to take over your hut and gruel.
I think this isn't that game. Yeah, this is a different game.
Because this sounds, the idea that you're like, oh, it's not like, oh, I need to go out. Like Caldwell said, I need to go out and fuck. It's like, oh, no. You need to find someone an apprentice.
If that's your mission,
that's fun.
I am going to die. I need to find someone who can like carry on my traditions.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
But if it's like, oh, I'm getting older and weaker and I can't remember stuff as well as I used to weekly.
This game has it in its pitch paragraph. And this player didn't know that aging was a thing.
Yeah,
so I would say it's probably not the same game.
Yeah. If it surprised you, I think it's a bad surprise.
Yeah.
I'll say it's a bad surprise.
It shouldn't have been a surprise.
Yeah. A game like that, like the way you just described that, that does sound like an interesting game. And I do think that a campaign of anything with an aging mechanic can be cool, but I think everybody needs to buy in on it right away.
It has to be part of the pitch.
Because it's going to become a big part of everything.
Yeah. What about a reverse aging mechanic?
Benjamin Button style?
A Benjamin Button one?
Mm. That could be kind of interesting.
We can get into that.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So then that's just
the... You're 14 now.
Yeah.
And now you're not as good.
You're just pitching the Rugrats TTRPG.
It would be fun if you did that, but then you start out as like a wizened old person, and then you start leveling up as you get closer and closer to like your youthful prime, but then you start de-leveling as you get too young.
It's kind of just weird to be like preoccupied with your own character's death and what happens after that, rather than like an adventure.
Live in the
or
moment.
Something bigger should be going on in the world than being like, all right, I'm close to death. Who is going to take over?
I'm just picturing like some epic battle where you defeat a great dragon and like the DM narrates this beautiful, epic final thrust of a sword and you're all panting and then you're like, cool, are there any children around?
Anyone I can take under my wing? Yeah.
Oh, actually, for... wait. Let's take that back to the dragon fight. You're actually 44, so you got a minus 2 to that roll.
So yeah, the dragon is 12. Yeah. So yeah.
It's a beefy dragon.
You the DM being like weight. Chuckling to himself and being like, oh, "You forgot to freeze your eggs." So
great. This sounds not great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could honestly, I could see a game working with this, and I'm sure there are many. I'm sure people will mention them in the comments how awesome they are.
Yeah,
love that for you.
Thank you.
I think all we're saying is that you're in the right. You're not wrong. Someone should have during character creation, thrown out that this was part of it.
This is not
that you could have aged your character.
I think we're on your side.
DM's got to let you know which rules are in effect, whether they're Benjamin Button or Benjamin Normal.
Right.
Should we sentence this DM to age?
Yeah. They have to be fucking my age now. They got to be 37.
Wow.
There's probably some 25-year-old being like, no, you got to play old people and they stop being strong. Yeah. All athletes are stronger and younger than me, thanks. And I have to watch them and think about that.
Isn't that weird? I'm the same age as LeBron James, though. So as long as he's playing, I still have a chance.
He's still young, technically. Yeah. You still have a chance?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I thought you meant you were still like strong.
No. I think I can still play in the NBA. Okay, so you were sentenced to grow old. So ordered, I suppose. Our next case comes from Jillian Y. To the Honorable Justices Murphy, Axford, Tanner, and the Disorder King Bailiff.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Disorder King. I love that. I bring the case of the first time crit. I ran a one shot for my aunt, uncle, and cousin.
Oh, I love it when extended family gets
I wonder if they're yaunts and yunkles.
I bet they are.
They have that energy. They're still yunkle at heart. It was their first time playing the game ever, and for the oldest member of our crew, it was a lot to learn. After character creation, in which my uncle made his barbarian U.S. Congressman Adam Schiff, we got to playing. We got to playing.
This is not a yunkle.
I am so surprised by this. Who? Okay, keep going.
Honestly, it's not even about
the, okay.
Just in the background, that's who the uncle made.
Okay.
We got to playing and he crit on an investigation on a rug I had drawn on the map. I had added this rug so the map didn't look so empty.
You
had absolutely no
bearing.
You don't just put a rug in there.
You had to be so careful.
There was
with
nothing
your set
special
pieces.
About the rug. And it served mostly as a chance for them to enjoy the poking around side of D&D before I got them to the main combat.
Well, they were enjoying it. And then they crit on the rug. You gotta put a secret door.
Mm-hmm. With his crit, I let him thoroughly destroy said rug, but nothing else came of it. In my sweats to get them all to the main encounter in a flooding deeper cavern, Opa the sewer fight style from Unsleeping City. I ask you, should I have let Adam Schiff find something more exciting for this first time player's first time ever crit? I humbly await your ruling.
It's so weird that they made their character Adam Schiff. We're just gonna barrel past it.
It's neither here nor there.
So trying to get to the right. Rules as written, you don't need to have something happen just because there's a crit there. But I will say, if you made a map of the place and there's like kind of nothing to find there, then why'd you make a map?
Right.
Because
there might have been other things. We don't know.
There could have been other things, but if you're just having people look around and somebody gets a nat 20, instead of having it behind the bookcase, have it under the rug.
Right. If there's anything else in the room. They said the rug was there to round out the room to make it look fuller. So theoretically, there's other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's rounding out the room, it's probably a valuable rug. At least let them like do an appraisal of it and be like, wow, this is like a really well-made rug. This is a craftsman item.
You know what? I really don't hate that. That's really funny.
This is worth a lot of money.
you can just keep the rug.
At the very least,
just
roll up
money.
The rug.
Yeah. I remember our friend Travis had a canoe at one point, and just every time we remembered, he was walking around with a canoe.
Yeah, just carry it behind us.
It's just like our party has a canoe.
Hiking with
wherever
a canoe.
We go, we have a canoe.
That's great. Yeah, like anytime
whenever
you camp,
you have a canoe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea of just making it a very expensive rug.
Yeah.
But then this guy's like, great, let's roll it up. Just roll it up.
I might be able to sell this
it.
In the nearest city.
Sell this.
You could burn this rug to cast Revivify.
I mean, again, you don't want to have your players going around and every time they get a nat 20, they flip out because they think they like figured out something or something like that. Like if it's just a perception check, looking at something. But if you're specifically having people investigate a room, they have to find something.
Yeah.
Again, I'm just confused as to why there was a map.
If you were panicked and you didn't want to invent something new, you could just be like, in the rug, in the shag of the rug, you see a mirror, and reflecting off of that mirror is a cabinet that you look that looks like you could open it.
Yeah.
You know, or like anything, something like that.
And it's like, this is their first ever crit, so like it's almost like I feel like the crime is almost worse because they don't know what's been taken away from them.
Yeah,
if you're playing with like people who'd played before, they crit, you would feel a lot more pressure to be like, okay, something has to be in this rug.
Yeah,
right.
But it's like, well, this Adam Schiff didn't actually know any better.
Yeah.
It's like, rolled a crit. It's like, wow, you knocked the hell out of this rug. It's like, nice.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even know that that's the best thing you can fucking do in D&D.
You're right. So actually, though, in a way, like, no crime was committed. Potentially, right. Adam Schiff was just like, that was awesome. I fucking destroyed that rug.
I guess, but it's like, why do you even have them roll an investigation check if there's nothing under the rug? It's I want to check out the rug. Roll an investigation check.
True.
Why?
True.
If somebody says, I want to look under the rug and there's nothing there, there's 100% nothing in this room, but I drew a map of it for some reason, and then you move the rug, I would just be like, you move the rug and you find nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for drawing the map.
Right.
That must have been really confusing.
You don't need to do an investigation. Don't roll the dice.
I'm sorry for making the rug an exciting color.
But
I should have known.
This makes me think that maybe there was something else in the room.
Yeah.
To which I would say, if somebody was like, I'm investigating the rug, they get a nat 20, I'd be like, you don't find anything there, but as you move the rug, you look around and you notice this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to have somebody go into a room and be like, roll for the desk, roll for the bookshelf, roll for the door next to the desk,
honestly,
roll for the garbage bin.
I would do that and I would
have
love fun.
It. Yeah,
I really
turn
would.
Apart a room. It's like an escape room.
I would roll on every single drawer.
Yeah, right. And then you got an at 20 on the first drawer.
So
right.
That's fun until you get like,
nothing in the first,
I got a 5 on the desk, but a nat 20 on the rug.
Yeah, sorry.
It would be so unrealistic too, because like you would potentially just like every drawer would be such a different experience. And in real life, they're pretty similar.
Yeah. Although it would be like, you know, in a movie when like somebody comes home and finds that their like apartment has been ransacked.
Yeah.
It would just be playing out that in real time.
Yeah.
Which could be kind of fun.
It's kind of like ransacking an apartment, like opening up every single drawer, pulling out everything. And then you see like the mattress and you just kind of like kick it a little bit rather than like going underneath it.
Yeah. I think the big thing here is that like, when you get a nat 20, that's like your birthday. That's your D&D birthday. It's like for a little bit, it's just like, hey, you're awesome. We're all going to like sit back and clap and applaud you. And for that, like that applause to not come.
Yeah.
It's a missed opportunity.
They might have loved just beating the shit out of that rug.
True.
And they might not know what they lost. But I think you did have a soft crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did nothing wrong. Rules is written. But you had a chance to make some magic and you didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You wrote us because you knew it too.
Yeah. Is this a
dice
question?
This is a dice question.
You know what you did.
I think in the future, I would either not map out an area that had nothing in it, or I would just add a little something, or I would be like, there's nothing there, but there is something here, and you notice that because you got a nat 20.
This is just a general rule for D&D.
Yeah.
If you ever have a map, if you ever have a board, and you put something weird out there, it is all anyone's going
to do. Or don't let people roll investigation if there's literally nothing to find. Ever.
Yeah.
You know?
I just can't get the image out of my head of this person with their like little D&D battle mat and they've drawn everything out, but then they've clearly spent hours on the rug.
Right.
It's just a perfect.
It's just so perfect.
Yeah. You decorated the map. You thought nobody was going to check that out?
What if the nat 20 was like, you see through the folds of time and reality to the creator?
This rug
just
was woven.
Put this here to tie the room together.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Too.
Even that.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do a cheeky little joke.
Yeah. Anything's possible.
Could be a joke.
What is the punishment here?
The players get to take one of your rugs.
Oh, you yes.
You got to get a rug.
Rug for, right.
rug for the party.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
And it can't
be from Overstock or Wayfair.
Yeah.
Let's go local. Yeah. Let's go vintage.
Find something on Craigslist that's still expensive.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's and, like an estate sale, but like the kids are not letting things go easy.
Yeah.
Put something in the rug
because
this needs to be special.
Estate sale.
Maybe children have
ready to let grandma go.
All right, great. So ordered.
Throw a couple bags of M&Ms in the rolled up.
That's great.
Okay, like but not treat. In the heat. Yeah. Yeah. Not in the heat, right. though.
Not loose M&Ms.
Keep them bags.
Yeah, they got to be.
Bagged M&Ms.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do tubes.
M&M minis.
Rug in a tube. Several tubes of M&M minis. You know what? Let's do a poster tube with M&M mini tubes inside the rug.
And a poster of M&M minis. Because why don't
always bring things back to M&Ms. It's M&Ms, Flintstones, birds.
I said no F word this time.
I didn't mean to drop the F bomb.
Put down an ultimatum.
Yeah, don't talk about the Flintstones.
Right, sorry, and it won't happen again. Danny S. writes, to the always delightful justices and also the bailiff who, regardless of how we're feeling today, I still think is cool.
What? Oh, wow. That's nice.
That's really
you can
nice.
Have your
Thanks
own opinion.
For
I don't like it. Get with the crowd.
I present to you the debate of lactose intolerance.
Okay.
During a fight against a frog hemoth, my goblin artificer was unfortunately swallowed by the beast.
Great.
Despite all the restraints this effect put me under, however, I was able to whip out an alchemy jug from my bag of holding. Being able to summon any liquid, I asked my DM if filling the froghemoth's belly with milk would immediately cause the beast to hurl me up. He said no, but the other players and I argued that if your stomach was filled instantly with something you physically can't digest... Well, as Google confirmed, amphibians are lactose intolerant.
This is such bullshit. I hate the outside of the monster manual and go, a frog hemoth is not real. A frog hemoth is not a fucking frog. It's got hemoth in the name. It's not fucking real.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So was this that jug of anything?
It's the alchemy jug, right?
Yeah, alchemy jug.
How much milk can it produce?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, it could be a gallon challenge situation.
Well, so the DM proposed a compromise letting me summon the max 12 gallons of salt water with the jug.
Okay.
Frog hemoth.
And while it wouldn't release me from the beast on my turn, it would give me advantage on my saving throws next round. Ultimately, we still had a blast in our session, but we need your ruling, justices. I think
DM,
you got it.
Okay, right.
I think the this DM actually legend, handled it really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. This legendary, Dairy spelled D-A-I-R-Y, trick.
Yeah. Cupid, you're wrong.
Slide, all the puns
or was I
everything.
Too caught up in the bit to admit its impracticality? I guess what you have to Google, instead of like Ken Frog's digest milk, you have to Google can frog hemoths digest milk. And then Google would be like, what are you talking about?
Frog hemoths are only lactose intolerant if their monster stat block says
right.
So
like bullywugs literally have teeth. They have a bite.
And
not saying that a frog hemoth is a bullywug, but the I think
we sometimes get questions that are like, well, okay, this is a flying eagle, but in real life, eagles are this. And you're like, well, no, this is a different.
A vulture attacked me, but a vulture wouldn't actually attack a living person. Right. They'd only attack if they were dead. And it's just like, guys.
And I think
a frog hemoth is bipedal, has tentacles and three eyes on a stalk.
Yes.
It's barely
really?
A frog.
Yeah.
It definitely has tentacles.
And these things are fun if they're like good natured questions at the table. Like, no, frogs can't drink milk. Ha ha. Everyone's laughing. And that's good. But as soon as you stand your ground on it,
if you dig your heels in and you're like, I pour milk into the frog hemoth's mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Will you not let me do that, Jared?
Yeah.
It sounds like this player, though, they came up with their idea, didn't work out. They came up with a different idea. Everyone still had fun.
Yeah,
so it sounds like they did exactly the right thing, which is they had a silly idea. The DM said, let's ground it. And they were like, cool, let's do this.
The only wrong step you made was writing in this court.
There's so many fun things that you can summon with the alchemy jug. You can't actually summon milk. It's acid, poison, beer, honey, mayonnaise, oil, vinegar, fresh water, salt water, or wine.
Okay, Murph, would you... Well, no, fights are so quick. Yeah. I was like, would you let them summon beer and see if they could intoxicate them?
Yeah. I think I would have done exactly what this DM did, which is just... You work it into the mechanics because there's no actual mechanics for it. So you're just like, well, maybe they'll be queasy. So they'll do it with disadvantage, or you'll get advantage on trying to get out, which is exactly what the DM did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when players argue for things like this and everybody's joking around, everybody's having fun. But as soon as you win one of these arguments, it's just like, milk did it. You won. You beat the boss with milk. Is everyone happy now? Are you adventurers happy now?
And then what happens is every single time he's summoning milk.
Yes. Now can I jump in the purple worm's mouth and feed it milk? And now the purple worm's dead.
Right.
Are we all happy?
Yeah.
Are all the Aragorns
I'm skipping
out
all
here
the
that
challenges
been,
with milk?
Yeah. We could have saved the world, but we used milk.
Yeah. We saved the world with milk.
Yeah.
Chosen style.
Yeah. Great.
The DM wants to have fun too.
You
it's
always
their night. Yeah. It's their night too.
You always have to ask yourself at the end of a bit, right. And now what?
Yeah, and with the mechanics actually, like, you still theoretically, like, you can flavor these things happening as what you did. Like, all right, you're going to get advantage on these saving throws. You succeed. The frog throws up milk or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, asking for exactly what you did to work the exact way that you wanted it to, it's a bridge too far.
Totally. And then it makes it so now you've done this jokey move, and it worked. But it came at a risk. You had to roll, even though you had to roll with advantage.
Right.
So you would never put yourself into this position again because something bad might happen. You might roll bad even though you got
You're
advantage.
Not diving into every bad guy's mouth with your milk.
It's perfect, which is you would start diving in mouths with milk.
Yeah.
If,
we know who you
if,
are.
If you, we know you, Caldwell.
Yeah.
You
nasty you little milk mouth. Yeah.
I've suggested so many ideas that my DMs have said no, and I've always been like, cool. That's absolutely fine.
Thank
I brought it
time.
Up knowing right. that you're probably going to say no.
I think it's a no. It's a no, but no, you can't do it that way. But this will work, and that's exactly what the DM did.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
yeah. And as soon as you start applying real world things to your game, you've lost because like you're in a fantasy realm.
You might also say that like the DM, because the DM is putting a lot of effort into this, like. It's fair to say that the DM can kind of weigh in on what's most exciting to them as well.
Yeah,
you know,
fully.
Like because they're putting a lot of work into this.
Yeah,
story.
Not having their encounter destroyed by
they
milk.
They didn't shoot down your thing. They didn't shoot down your thing.
Yeah.
Yo, what a sad day for that one frog. The first frog to try and drink milk.
Right.
Must have been so excited, being like, oh, wow, look at this just big, just nice, tasty, frosty glass.
It is kind of interesting to be like, oh, this frog ate a guy and it can't digest milk.
Yeah, because a normal frog doesn't eat people.
Person.
It doesn't eat people. It's just, you're
frog fully ate a person.
A frogs don't eat alchemists.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're also full of, you have potions all over you. You have the ingredients to make whatever you want.
Your argument would just be like, would the frog throw up because he ate my boot?
Yeah, can I never be eaten by anything ever?
Isn't salt water like really bad to have a ton of too? Although for a frog hemoth, I don't know if they are, if they hang out in the ocean or
I mean,
not.
It also goes both ways, right? So if you're going to go into this logic, then you have to be like, okay, Saul, you didn't have any of the milk with the other people, did you?
What?
Saul starts throwing up and dies.
Yeah. Brian, everyone is lactose intolerant.
Yeah. I can't lie, Brian, I had the milk.
You can't lie to Brian.
Yeah. I wouldn't lie to you.
And I think, you know,
kill him.
We've ruled on the other side before because I think I remember one time there was somebody who knew a lot about squids or something.
Yeah.
So used it for like a kraken. And I think we gave kind of a similar ruling where we were like, you should have rewarded this in like a little way. Like you give them inspiration, you have advantage. Which is exactly
was like,
what this DM did.
Like they were like a marine biologist like specializing in squids. Right. Or something.
I think there's a difference between a marine biologist specializing in squids and wanting to, you know, bring a little bit of that to the world building and someone, I mean, let's be honest, lactose intolerant is hoping that they're going to get shit out.
Yeah, They just Googled, can frogs do milk? They didn't go to,
can
they don't have a doctorate.
Do milk?
Just go to a pet store.
We're officially ruling that frogs can't do milk, but frog hemoths can do milk.
Yeah,
frog hemoths love nothing more than ending the day with a milkshake.
Yes.
That's right. That's how lactose tolerant they are.
Right. So now we have to punish this player, I suppose.
We can put him on the beat for working the blender for that frog hemoth.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You got to be a soda jerk for the frog hemoth. Yeah. You got to open a
you
swamp
got a soda
diner.
Jerk for the frog hemoth.
You unfortunately do have to feed a frog hemoth a milkshake.
Wow. All right. Love it. Our next case comes from Kuwand. Kuwand writes, to the well-mannered judges and the bailiff whose conduct resembles that of a toddler at the adult table during a family get-together.
Wow. Now we're talking.
Take issue with that.
Yeah.
I present a simple question. My player argues as a Lightfoot halfling, he may hide or conceal himself behind a larger player.
Mm-hmm.
He argued successfully that hiding is concealment. Therefore, by raw, total cover, and he should have total cover behind his colleagues. Help, I can't hit this halfling. Furthermore, boring evidence below, rules as written state that partial cover may be a creature, setting precedent for creatures being cover. Total cover is described as a target has total cover if it is completely concealed by an obstacle.
Okay, what does total cover mean?
It's like plus five AC?
No. Total cover is you can't be hit.
Can't be targeted.
Oh, can't, wow.
But hide is, the wrong mechanics are being used. You just need to look for them. The DM needs to use perception and find the halfling.
That's it. Says they can't be targeted.
I'm going to look up Lightfoot halfling.
Does it seem
okay,
like...
Okay, wait. As a Lightfoot halfling, you can easily hide from notice, even using other people as cover.
As cover, yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
Other people as cover.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they can.
You
think
attempt
how you...
to hide when you are obscured only by a creature that is at least one size larger than you. I think this is one of those things that's kept kind of vague. I don't see how... I think for total cover, you argue that there's no way that someone can possibly hit you. If we build a metal dome of armor around somebody and kobolds are trying to like hit it with their like slingshots or something, that's total cover. They're never going to hit it.
Right.
I think they do have total cover because listen to the description of total cover. It says you can use a person as cover as long as they're larger than you. Uh-huh. That in the Lightfoot halfling description of total cover, a target with total cover can't be targeted directly by an attack or a spell, although some spells can reach such a target by including it in an area of effect. A target has total cover if it is completely concealed by an obstacle.
Okay.
And in for a Lightfoot halfling, they can use another person as an obstacle. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, but they need to roll like a stealth check or something for this first,
yes,
right?
Yes, I think so.
And that determines how good their cover is? Is that how it works?
That determines how good. This is just one of those things that I think the rules are maybe a little too vague to deal with.
Uh-huh. Well, this was I knew that Beverly had this ability and I just never used it because it's like partially like Beverly's supposed to be up in the mix during melee.
Paladin,
yeah, it wouldn't be fun. And also, it is kind of vague and like hard to figure out exactly like how it's supposed to work in battle.
I personally would rule it that cover means that it's some kind of cover, whether it be half or three quarters.
Mm-hmm. Total cover. Total cover is what they're saying.
Total cover seems kind of crazy. I don't know.
I'd give it to him.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I would give it to him and I would be like, great, we're going to get crazy with area of effect spells.
Yeah.
You are going to watch the person in front of you die so that you can be reached.
Yeah.
You're going to start to wonder if this is who you want to be.
Yeah. I do.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I do kind of agree with that.
I feel like you basically agreed with the player like on the rules, but not on the morals.
Yeah. Like if you can't damage their armor class, then damage their heart class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am kind of wondering why they need to hit the halfling so bad. If halfling just
hurt all their
friends. Yeah, just beat the shit out of their friends.
Yeah. And have like the bad guys they're facing tease the halfling for being a coward.
Yeah.
Did they mention what class this halfling was? This is like a rogue that's like popping out, attacking.
Yeah,
because
if it's a rogue, it could be.
They don't say, just Lightfoot halfling.
Is their whole build just hiding behind big guys?
It could be.
Yeah.
And you know what? That just presents an interesting... Uh-huh. In my opinion, that just presents an interesting... Challenge.
Yeah. In the way that like an Arakakra is going to fly. How do you deal with that? There's like this guy who can just hide behind other guys.
I think that you just have to kind of start thinking like, okay, let me just accept that you can also, it's ultimately your game. You can, I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying that this is what the rules dictate. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if I'm a DM, someone says this, I look at it. I'm like, all right, that's fair. Mm. But I am looking into area of effect spells. I am looking into flanking them.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm looking to
multiple bad guys, right?
Like I'm looking to put terrain that makes it difficult to hide behind someone.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to, I think I'm gonna rule a little bit different. I think I'm on the DM side. I think that I would interpret this as not total cover. I think cover is what you decided is quarter cover, half cover, three quarters cover, whatever. I would have them maybe make a stealth check and have that be how good of cover they have. If they get like a 29 or something,
I think the
you
Lightfoot,
can say they tuck themselves like
I think the
away
Lightfoot does have a thing that they have to make it. They have to make a hide check to do it.
Yeah.
So I think what I would probably do is like if your stealth check beats the monster's passive perception, I'd be like, cool, you have total cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like that can be interrupted pretty easily. It's like if they do a perception check on their turn, maybe they can discover this halfling.
Yeah, that's what like I'm wondering. I'm like, if you on your turn hide behind a bigger character and you roll a dirty 20 and then my NPC gets a 22, can I just say, he stands to the side. He sees that you're hiding behind his legs.
Yeah.
And I hit you with a flail.
Yeah.
You know
it
what I mean?
Seems
so
like
that seems buttoned up to me.
Yeah.
Although I guess you could argue that it's like, you know, you're a small halfling. This is very much following like the classic like J.R.R. Tolkien rule set where it's like you're a small halfling, like in the heat of battle, like in that fray, you're kind of like using everyone's confusion and like the fact that there's so much going on to just kind of like hide in plain sight a little bit. So
yeah.
How many times did Frodo hide in Gandalf's robes when he was being attacked by orcs?
Yeah, I think I would personally just come up with a mechanic for yourself and maybe give them like half cover or something like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'd come up with something that it's like that high check does matter.
Yeah.
And they have to roll well, and I would probably come up with something that was, because it, you know, if they're pushing back, it is going to keep being a conversation unless you get something like locked in stone.
Yeah. You're setting the DC.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting to beat them using mechanics and using the game like Justice Axford is saying.
And I really like what you were saying about just like that little narrative nugget of killing all
their
friends.
Is this who you are?
I would weirdly say that I think you're right that they shouldn't be able to get total cover, but I will say that I think the cat is out of the bag a little bit, because once you allow this a couple times, now this player loves that they can do this, and so to take this away from them is you can't go backwards now. So I think take satisfaction in the fact that I agree with you, but I think you just gotta kill their friends.
Kill their friends So we are, I guess, technically ruling against you.
But also with
something
you.
Something fun, too.
We agree with you.
Because I've played with, like, people who play, like, you know, kind of like edgelordy rogues, you know? And they'll sometimes be like, well, I don't want to come out of hide. Like, they never want to get hit. And sometimes, like, it can be interesting to be like, cool, this person is down over here. They're far enough away that you can't run back and get cover. Like, I don't think I'd let them use like a dead body for cover.
So what's the punishment here?
I
think my ruling is not that you're wrong. My ruling is just that I would probably roll with it as a DM, but I feel like I have to abstain because I feel like there could be a really firm ruling in this that I'm wrong about.
I think we're on your side, but I think you might come off as a buzzkill if you take away your friend's thing.
At this point,
because they've already been doing it. So this will be less of a punishment and more just tough love, which is that you gotta kill all their friends.
You
gotta go real hard.
It's actually a punishment for your player, but we're directing it at you.
You have to leap
valiantly over the hurdle of their self-preservation.
That's all of your bad guys are Aarakocras now.
Right, because if they're flying in the sky, then I think it's totally fair to be like, yeah, that's not cover.
This isn't total cover. Is once you, that's the thing, once you get into this total cover stuff, they're totally covered. They're covered. They're covered up, they're covered down, they're covered inside, they're covered to the other side.
I would definitely, again, I don't care what is logical to me, is someone flying overhead seeing both of you standing next to each other, like standing next to someone doesn't give you cover to someone who's flying overhead.
Right. So I would argue that's not total cover.
All right. Yeah.
Go for it. A lot of holes in this cover argument.
Go forth, kill their friends.
But you already gave them the thing. So just get rid of their friends.
So ordered. Adam C. writes, to the dignified judges and the bailiff whom can be described by the fickle adjectives of the judges choosing.
Oh, okay, this is fun.
Okay. Should we all like go down the line and choose an adjective?
Yeah.
Okay, my adjective is going to be quirky.
Oh, quirky bailiff. I like that.
For some reason, I couldn't get like a Great British Bake Off style. I just kept hearing tempting in my head. I'm like, I can't.
Tempting.
I feel like the woman who like was in it in the very beginning would always talk about how tempting things looked.
Tempting bailiff is my new favorite.
I'll say luscious.
Yeah. Wow. Luscious.
Luscious, a little quirky.
I fucking love you guys. Thank you.
I'm picturing you like a really, really well icinged cake.
Yes. Perfectly risen.
Ah, the pudding bailiff.
I present the case of the timeout bard. I had been sitting on a build that I wanted to try for a campaign that started at level 7.
Mm.
At level 10, I created a bard that had Find Greater Steed and Haste as their magical secret spells.
Cool.
My Pegasus has a base flying speed of 90, with Haste is doubled to 180, and with dash actions can move about 540 feet per round.
Okay.
Cool.
I gave my Goliath Bard expertise in athletics and wanted to spend my actions grappling opponents, then flying them 250 feet away and putting them in timeout. The rest of my party loved the idea and found it really fun, but my DM ruled that I can't do it because it breaks the game and found a specific Quora post that said you can't grapple anyone while mounted. Am I allowed to put the bad guys in timeout, or is my DM right to rule against this? I throw myself at the mercy of the court.
Does anyone have a Quora account? Yeah, I think you have to have like an account to use Quora.
I have, my first thought is that like this sounds like a really, really fun for one battle. But the second battle, I wonder if it loses its luster.
Right. The DM should almost just let you do it once because you're not actually defeating an enemy. You're putting them in timeout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's basically just a fun one-time move.
Yeah, I think it's like, I feel like you don't build a character around it. You just like maybe do it one time.
Yeah, I would say this is a literal like one-trick pony that you've built.
I think you wouldn't want to do this
That's so interesting, if you can't grapple while mounted.
Here, let's look at this. Moving a grappled creature. When you move, you can drag or carry the grappled creature with you, but your speed is halved unless the creature is two or more sizes smaller than you.
Okay. What?
But that says, but your speed is halved.
So maybe since your speed is, it doesn't say
it references
about
your speed. It says nothing about
the mount.
The mount. But it does, I mean, I think you can't use regular grappling rules because it is like, it would be hard to pull somebody up onto a horse.
Right.
Yeah. Way harder than it would be to wrestle with them.
Yeah, I mean, you see it happen in fiction where someone will be like riding along and they'll like grab somebody and pick them up onto
their
horse.
That's someone who wants to be saved or something. That's somebody scooping.
A willing participant. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, cartoons definitely, a bad guy would scoop somebody up on their horse and kind of hold them on the side.
Hate to rule against a scoop.
Seems like you should be able to, if someone was on your, like thinking about mounted as like riding, right? And if someone jumped on and tried to start steering your horse, it feels like you could grapple them to be like, no, I'm in charge.
But they'd have to already be on the horse with you. The thing
I do kind of think they need to be
so
on the
grappling
horse
rules
with you.
As written, it's half speed. So the idea is that if Jake starts beating me up, he can grapple me and he can pull me at half as fast as he can move.
Right.
So think about how much easier it would be to drag me than it would be to pull me up onto a horse.
I feel like this is why your friends at the table love the idea.
Yeah.
All you really need is one other ally in this to help with the tossing.
A boost to the scoop.
I would encourage the DM to just make this hard for you to do. Mm-hmm. But
interesting
possible.
Suggestion here. Someone says, I'm like looking in. I'm not finding a hard ruling on this, but I am seeing someone that says that mounting and dismounting use half the rider's movement. And the rider's movement is halved when moving a grappled creature.
Okay.
Yeah, so you...
You would have to dismount to then grapple the creature. Then your speed would be halved. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no mechanics for this, but at least that we can find in the 30 seconds that we've been looking hard.
Well, and your DM only found like a Quora post, which I don't think is... That's
you
not...
definitely can mount... Someone said... It begs the question, can you maintain a grapple and mount your mount? I think you definitely can, because think of a situation a situation where someone's down and you gotta hoist them up and then hoist yourself up.
A grapple is different than carrying a friend. A grapple is a wrestling match.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Although this is a Goliath character, so they're probably pretty good at grappling.
That's all factored into their strength and everything, and that's factored into
You have the right of it, Murph, which is like, as the DM, you allow this like once... maybe twice, and then you like either like ratchet up the DC or just don't allow for it to happen. Allow the opportunity.
Like, there's not even really mechanics for, you know, you can grapple somebody, but to, you know, pin them or something like that, like have an actual wrestling match or something, there's nothing in the book, but characters should be able to like straight up win a wrestling match, you know what I mean? It shouldn't just be their speed is zero. It's like, yeah, but then what? Let's come up with something.
Yeah.
And I think that the answer here is probably a homebrew thing. I would agree with your DM that this is kind of reminding me of the milk question.
I think what ends up happening with this is you do this once, everyone has a good time, laughs at it. You do it two times, diminishing returns.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You do it the third time, all anyone's going to do from this day forward is target your mount. So that is a waste of a spell now. Suddenly you're casting Find Greater Steed to just your steed goes out in the beginning of every single fight. Yeah,
but if you have mounted combatant, you can have it attack you instead of the mount.
Mm.
It feels like you just want to get this out of your system.
Did they say they had mounted combatant?
I don't know. I think so. They were all min-maxed up, so I would assume that they did or could take it.
It's also, they don't mention, but yeah, they have Find Greater Steed.
Can Find Greater Steed be dispelled, though? It's a spell.
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like grappling is a risk. It's a gamble, like, anytime you do it. So if you're just spending, like, every turn going up and being like, I, like, try to get under this guy. Like, I try to, like, grapple him onto my horse. Like, and that's just what you're doing every time.
Yeah.
Just to try to get, like, one big payoff move.
But look, if this is what you are all about, like, they made this from level 7 to do this. Yeah. They have a Goliath bard with expertise in athletics.
Yeah, but it's made up.
Yeah,
this isn't real. You're not allowed to. There's no mechanics in place to
scoop
someone.
There are no mechanics in place.
Against their will.
I feel like the more fun thing is finding when the mechanics are work together interestingly rather than finding when there's a loophole that you can't.
Always have to ask if a boss, if your DM had a boss do this to you, would you be mad? Mm-hmm. If I was like, this fire giant has proficiency in athletics, so he runs over. Saul, give me contested athletics.
Okay, that's a 2.
You fail that. He rides his nightmare steed 400 feet into the air and drops him.
It's definitely fun to come up with like a novelty build for a one-shot, but I think ultimately it isn't going to be... It's not going to feel as fun to play the same thing over and over again.
I think you should
work with
your DM and come up with mechanics for this, because there are no mechanics in place.
Right. You guys can work together to come up with something that works for both of you. I also think that getting away with it once could be fun, gets it out of your system.
Yeah.
And it's not that fun to do it over and over again.
Yeah.
I think that's what
there are other cool things you can do with this build besides this too.
But I don't really know who's wrong in this one in terms of the rules, because there aren't rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. For this.
Well, I would say that, I mean, the DM's like, I'm not going to allow this.
I think, if there's no rules, we kind of got to go with the DM.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at.
My final thought is that if this is like a tag team thing, like if somebody gets a guy prone or like stunned or something, and then it's like a team operation, sure. I like that.
Yeah, I think if it's a homebrew thing, I think you need to figure out something harder than just winning the one athletics check. Because that's what you do. You make that person speed 0, and you can move them at half your speed.
Yeah.
There's no mechanics in place for hoisting them up onto a horse, which is... substantial enough that the rules say it takes half your speed. Mm-hmm. So it takes a decent amount of your turn to do that.
Right. So it's going to take teamwork beyond just you putting them on there.
If I'm your DM, I'm feeling the room fall out of love with this idea. Like, I'm seeing the eyes glaze over when you do it the third time. Mm-hmm. I'm stocking Dispel Magic. I'm putting you in tight quarters that a Pegasus can't fit or fly.
Yeah, yeah. You're doing a
cavern crawl.
Yeah. See, I feel like Justice Axford is right again here, because like you're yes anding the player. Like, yes, you can do that, but I'm gonna fuck you in another way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm guessing that there's diminishing returns the third time you do this.
Yeah. Check to see if everyone else is pulling out their phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so that said, we are actually rolling with the DM here.
I definitely am.
Because in the absence of the mechanics, if the DM says no, then it is kind of a no.
And also the DM, I think that their ruling is in the interest of it being the most fun at the table. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So we have ideas for how someone else might DM this, but if it is this DM's call.
Yeah. I think if you were going to min-max too, everything has to be buttoned up. Yeah. You know what I mean? You can't be like a little gray area. Don't build your build around a gray area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're really going to be like, I do this one specific broken thing that can grab the level 20 wizard and take them out of the fight, make sure you've got everything down to the letter.
And I would say also, if that is your intention from starting at level 7, mention it to the DM up top so you don't have 3 level ups only
so
to be
like,
surprise, my crazy move is this. And the DM's like, no, you can't do that.
You can't do it,
Like, but what the hell did I waste all my time for?
Yeah.
But everybody said it was a good idea on the text thread without you.
I think I would add, as the DM, maybe do like some kind of like hoisting mechanic or something like that, where you have to beat them on a couple athletics checks or something like that. I don't think it would be as easy as
or
just
you have to
somebody.
Beat them by a certain amount.
Yeah.
Mm. That could be fun.
Yeah. Although I guess you could argue, okay, wait, let's go back over this. If it takes
holy shit, are you about to give it a generous read?
Wait, I am gonna give it a generous read. Whoa. Hang on, okay. No, Emily was saying before that it takes half your movement to get
onto
your
somewhere.
Mount.
I read somewhere. It could be wrong.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So if it takes... Okay, so if your speed is 30, right?
Yeah.
So your speed is 30. You grapple the person.
Mm-hmm.
They're right next to your mount, okay?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So you need 15...
So you drag them 10 feet to get them 5 feet.
No, you have to dismount to grapple them.
Let's say you're already off the horse.
Okay.
Let's say you start off the horse.
Yeah.
You start off the horse.
You're not on the horse.
You're not on the horse. You're next to your horse.
Yeah. Okay.
You grab the guy who's next to your horse. You drag him. You spend 10 feet of movement to move him 5 feet.
Right.
Into the horse's space.
Yes.
Yeah.
You use... half of your movement, which is 15 feet, which you still couldn't pull the guy with you, right? Have I lost myself in the math?
I think I've
lost myself.
Well, your speed would be halved. You would take half of your
movement.
Yeah,
So it would take half. So if it takes 15 feet of movement, I don't know. I give up. I quit math.
I need paper.
I quit. Somebody in the comments figure this out.
Right. Does the math check out?
We're going to circle back on this one.
Can I offer a punishment?
Sure.
For who?
Yeah, for who? I was saying we can need a punishment.
I think for the full table.
Okay. For the whole table?
Yeah, for the whole table. Because you know what? The other players were egging this person on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The DM maybe being a little staunch. I think that there's a fun way to resolve all of this. Everyone rents a horse and they all wrestle on horseback.
Oh, don't hurt the horse, though. Make sure it's a really strong horse.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
these
so
are
going to
be wrestling horses.
Yeah.
You know, there's like polo horses. There's like, you know, racing horses. There's all different types of horses.
Right. Yeah.
These are wrestling horses.
Wrestling horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Or you're going to have a horse wrestle.
And put her finger up like she got something.
It's just mounting and dismounting. It might be... Okay. It might not be worth
just might add
through.
To our math.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
But let's hear the math anyway.
Well, it says, once during your move, you can mount a creature that is within 5 feet of you.
Okay.
So you need to be within 5 feet of the creature. You can't dismount, go grab someone. Then, like, you would have to dismount.
Right. You'd have to start off the horse.
Doing so costs an amount of movement equal to half your speed. For example, if your speed is 30, you must spend 15 feet of movement to mount a horse. Therefore, you can't mount it if you don't have 15 feet of movement left or your speed is zero. So if you dismount it, if your speed was 30, dismount it, it costs you 15 feet of movement.
Uh-huh.
You then are grappling this person and your speed is halved, which means you don't have enough to mount the...
But could you do it if you start off the horse?
Maybe, but this person isn't going to start off the horse. Their idea is every single turn... they're doing this.
Yeah.
That's what their build is for.
I was under the impression that they're not dismounting, that they're trying to like grapple while
on
the horse.
Yeah, I think they're trying to do it while they're on the horse.
I was imagining just the horse is loose. They grab a guy, toss
put him
the
on
guy
the horse.
On the horse, and then the horse flies away.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If someone put me on a horse, I would simply get down.
I would roll off. I would use my reaction to roll off.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, interesting.
I would wriggle. Yeah, I would simply wriggle.
I imagine them getting tied to the horse.
No, I was with Caldwell. Well, I thought this was a lean over and scoop.
Yeah.
I thought this was a scoop against an enemy.
But I think you could argue you can't grapple someone as a scoop.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think a scoop is for a friend.
Right. Yeah. A scoop is for a friend.
Aww. Yeah. That's
beautiful.
A scoop is for
scoops
a friend.
Are for friends.
It
scoop
seems like you should be able to have some kind of like weapon that could like wrap somebody up and
like
fly
a net.
Yeah,
so,
I would bet.
Like,
yeah, there's nets.
There are ways to do this if you really want to, I think.
But like work
invest
with your DM on this.
Right. Invest in a net.
Just invest
Come
in
on.
A net.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Invest in
Scoops
a net.
Are for friends, nets are for foes.
Okay, so we are ordering this whole crew to buy nets.
Yeah.
You
actually have to buy the Brooklyn Nets.
Right. Oh my God. Without KD, without Kyrie.
Mean, yeah. With the entire Brooklyn Nets, I think you could definitely grapple a creature onto your horse.
Yes.
With that many actions, they would all roll into initiative.
Yeah.
They'd all hold their turn for you. They'd act as a swarm.
Especially if you wait till next year after they have their first round
picks.
This is
great, yeah. It's like a Horn of Valhalla situation, except with Brooklyn
you call
Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets. Yeah.
The net of Brooklyn.
I would play in that campaign.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layouts and easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. With Squarespace, you can make a place to upload videos or sell content or memberships, courses, music, ebooks, or if you're a small business, you can easily manage your clients and invoices in one streamlined, customizable workflow. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can check out their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly. Folks, their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart your new routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from, every week you'll always have new flavors to explore. So make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy and nutritious options. And also keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor's meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So that's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Head on over to factormeals.com/pawpaw50 and use the code pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code pawpaw50 at factormeals.com/pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Thank you, everybody.
Okay, next case comes from Sierra W. And they write, to the equally honorable judges and bailiff, okay, I present the case of the overly attractive NPCs.
Wait, okay. We've gotten this. Is this new hot NPCs?
This is new hot NPCs.
Okay, great. Okay, you know what? Bring it on.
They're still hot.
We need new hot ones for 2023.
Let's come in horny for this one.
Okay.
Yeah. There was some horny energy in the case submissions, to be honest.
Okay.
Right. I'm the DM for a group of friends and my partner playing a Strixhaven campaign.
Oh.
Three of the players are experienced and two are new, but I know them all very well.
Great.
I wanted my players to feel super engaged in the world right away, so using what I know about them all, I created NPCs that I knew would be irresistible to each of them, either based on physical attractiveness or personality traits. The problem is that this worked too well. The players spend most role-playing time interacting with these NPCs, and then they go on quests with their adventuring party almost out of expectation or something. The player characters don't have emotional ties to each other, and in some cases just plainly distrust each other. I'm glad I know my friends well enough to create NPCs that they fall for, but did my hubris mean I didn't offer them the opportunity to mesh as a group? I humbly throw myself at the mercy of the court.
This is so easy to fix. Uh-huh. They're all getting dumped. Nothing brings a crew together better than they're all freshly dumped.
Or the hot NPCs get kidnapped.
Or the hot NPCs.
Yeah.
Bring
them all together.
Rescue mission.
Yeah. You also need to start putting up red flags with these hot NPCs.
Right.
Uh-huh. They need to start revealing just little personality quirks that actually are starting to be like, wait, actually, like do I really like you? Yeah.
Right. Or like an ex that they're still really close to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to get dinner with my ex. You guys still talk? Yeah, my stuff is still at their apartment.
We go to all those cursed weapons road shows every year.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, yeah, they should distrust these NPCs a little bit rather than each other. So throw up some roadblocks.
It does sound like the DM's just a better role player than the others. Right?
Yeah.
I think this is kind of
a
fun problem. I think they're having fun.
Just like role playing, hooking up with your wife at the table while everybody else is just kind of like.
I'm just like picturing you like coming off a day of work of DMing and just being like, fuck, it's just like so draining. Everyone wants a piece of me.
Yeah. Imagine fucking DMing. You're just flirting with, you're holding court. You want to fuck me. You want to fuck me. You want to fuck me.
As soon as I'm not in a scene, everything falls apart. Just using a switchblade comb and pulling your hair back before you start DMing.
Fonzie style.
Yeah.
Hey.
I tried to make some duds. It didn't work. There's something for everyone.
I like that you care about their player.
Yeah.
Like their chemistry, though, because I do agree that's the better story.
I had to do a double take on this one because I'm actually like, I've been playing in a Strixhaven campaign with some friends.
You want to fuck the DM?
We all do. I mean, the DM has done an amazing job in the same way of creating a lot of like NPCs who are extremely furchable. And yeah, but I feel like we have like a better balance where like we're all interested in making sure that everyone is hooking up.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's kind of a like solidarity to make sure that everyone is having a good time.
Is Strixhaven like a horny setting?
It's like a horny college setting.
I see.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think if you're doing all of this, you said up top that you had done your kind of research and everything to come up with, or not research, just you know these people well enough that you were able to make these NPCs that really hit with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to find, what is the adventure that does that?
Because you're right, like a love interest is the easiest in for a lot of people, like in terms of storytelling. So you've got it. You figure that out. What's the second like easiest?
Yeah, I think if you're playing off a module or something, I would fold in something bad happening with like an NPC or three, and having somebody go missing or having somebody be distrustful or having somebody be a turncoat or something like that.
Yeah,
maybe changing things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And folding that into the
isn't
adventure.
There like a whole world of dating sims too? So like maybe this party just is really into like the. Into the romance, and maybe they don't even want adventure. Maybe they just want to like talk to crushes.
If you're having fun and if everybody's having fun, this might just be a dating sim.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Is Strixhaven, so you're playing one that's really relationship heavy.
Yeah.
Is that built into the mechanically into it?
I haven't read the
book.
Or
is it just that everyone thinks college and thinks dating lots?
I think it's a little bit that. Like there are literally like relationship meters going on in our game. So I don't know if that factors in here because I haven't read like the source material, but I think it just lends itself. It definitely lends itself to that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say if you're having fun, just go with this. It might just be that kind of game.
Yeah.
If you're not having fun and you want them to go on more adventures, I would just say take what they love and turn it against them.
Yeah. We have a Council of Elder who's like the use what you love against you.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So I would say, yeah.
It's always easy enough as well. Just like two birds for one stone. Just have two of those NPCs hook up.
Yep.
Cheat on
you. Just cause some drama.
You could do
that. Cause some drama.
I take the temperature for the drama before you totally go that far breaking their heart.
And so let's go ahead and punish the person, I suppose, because
I don't know who do you punish in this?
I don't think anyone's getting punished.
The characters didn't do anything wrong.
We have to punish ourselves for for not being able to punish anyone.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
so we failed.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
We failed because this is our job.
We failed. We should be disbarred.
I like the net.
Why don't we disbar Jake in Boston?
What?
I know he's sworn in if
so
we go back.
Tell order.
He's been disbarred.
We could just give them a net of Brooklyn as well.
Yeah.
That'd be fun for their campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going to want
I would like to disbar Jake if
okay,
that's
so
okay.
I'm disbarred in Boston.
Yeah.
I can no longer practice there.
Yeah. You can have the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The Nugget of Denver.
The Nugget of Denver.
You crush it in your hand and the entire team comes spilling out of its ass.
Oh, but that's going to be a problem because then they're going to hook up with the Nuggets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True.
All right.
True.
Sweet. So ordered, I suppose.
Ooh, maybe you also even could just introduce someone who like is like if you know their perfect romantic type, you might be able to create their perfect foil.
Oh.
Like the person that they would be the most jealous of, then make that person be like almost like flirting with one or all of their NPCs in one way or another,
right.
And also secretly behind some big bad plot.
Unite them through their common cause.
Yeah. It's like you don't even have to have them hook up with it if they're just flirting,
one person is fucking with all of their.
Yeah. We need some drama here. We need some drama.
Okay, great. So ordered. Connor R. writes, "Hey, judges and the other guy, thank you, but I actually used to be able to practice in Boston."
He owns the Denver Nuggets.
And I own the Nuggets. I've got a case of DM versus shouting party.
Okay.
Mm. As I started combat during my regularly scheduled game and was going through the arduous task of collecting, one of my players got very excited about their role. Collecting and sorting initiative is a pain, so once I had all the initiative numbers, I tuned out the voices of my players while I did the extremely difficult math of which number is higher than the other.
And We feel
after our grapple conversation.
As I created the order of combat. Our party's monk got an exceptionally high score on initiative. Their excitement led them to assume that they went first in combat.
Hmm.
Parentheses. They did. They got like 15 higher than the second person.
Oh, okay.
This point is irrelevant in my mind.
Okay. Huh?
They rolled their attacks while I was creating the list and got a nat 20 on one of them. I had missed them saying anything, so when I finished initiative, I told the monk to go ahead and take their turn. They instead just told me how hard they crit for dice already rolled. I had no clue how they got there.
Yeah.
Okay.
When they explained it to me, I told them that the dice rolled before initiative is done don't count. And the party shouted me down saying I had to respect the 20, even though it was done out of turn and without prompting. I am making this case to stop players from abusing distracted DMs who are doing the most extreme test of kindergarten level math.
I really I love the righteousness and self-deprecation next to each other.
And set a precedent that dice have got to be rolled when the DM is ready, not whenever the players want.
I think that's fully fair. That's absolutely fair. Because also we always say this, if that person had rolled
a one
would they have
been like, I go first?
Yeah,
I rolled it beforehand. I got a one and I got a four.
That's always the question.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
It was a one.
Also, I think they would have been like, oh, nat one. You wouldn't have said anything, and they would have been like, sweet, I guess that didn't count.
They would have quietly picked up the dice and waited to be asked. Like, oh, they're not paying
attention. Also, the DM needs to kind of describe. I mean, I'm sure they described the battlefield before they rolled initiative, but usually at the start of combat, you're like, okay, it's your turn. Here's kind of what you're looking at here. Yeah. And it, you know, you don't know what people rolled. So even if somebody got a 29, somebody can get a 30.
You need the DM to respond, because when you say nat 20, you truly don't know if they're going to be like, this person has a luck point, reroll it. This person uses a reaction to do this to give you disadvantage.
Like,
you kind of can't roll that damage till you get confirmation.
But also, like, they don't know if they're going first. I mean, it seems like they're like, they assume they're like, they're right, but they don't know that yet.
Yeah.
It just seems weird to like just call your shot like that.
Yeah.
I think, I think it's a good precedent.
Also, because you're not, you don't have your DM's attention, the DM doesn't even know who you're attacking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Even if you
crit, neither do you necessarily. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if you don't have the right weapon or something and you attack a ghost with a non-magical weapon or something?
Yeah.
It's different. Mm-hmm. Like, your role might need to be different. I don't know.
Sounds like your table is having fun together, though. So I feel like you're doing a good job. Right.
Yeah.
So there's comfort in that.
And there's embrace being the heel. If everyone's yelling at you, it means they're passionate and you're keeping the tempers flared.
Right. Yeah.
And it'll mean more when they womp you.
Yeah. We have so many cases about just like players being on their phone and using TikToks and taking
naps. That's no good.
Like,
that's no
good. Your players are all screaming at you. That's great. Yeah.
This is called heat.
Yes.
You want to get
you want heat. And actually, you want to own the Miami Heat, which is what we are going to give you as your reward.
Yes, we're giving you rewards.
Yeah. You own the Miami Heat now.
You own
the Heat.
Congratulations.
Crazy. That's
I'll see you in the playoffs, bud.
Can I have the Utah Jazz?
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you. Can.
Yes, you can. You guys want any teams?
Yeah, the Raptors still around?
They are. Cool. They sure are.
I think it's fun that a dinosaur wears basketball shorts.
I don't know that much about basketball. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I will say, I will give the, okay, so we're ruling with the DM.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The players, I've been watching hockey, the, the players are going to have to take over the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's not a good franchise. Mm.
Okay. Oh, and this person was calling for precedent. Should we just make it precedent? Should we officially say that anything rolled before the DM says, okay, who's up first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before the DM kicks it off, it doesn't count.
You can't roll your attack before the DM has set an eyes are on you.
Yeah. It would also be like, you know what it's almost analogous to? If it was not your turn and you were like, well, you know, Jake's attacking right now. I'm up after Caldwell. I might as well just roll and see if I hit really right now.
Yeah. And then you know what that leads to is just you doing like three rolls.
Yeah, just rolling by yourself. Yeah.
On my fake roll, I did just crit.
Holy shit.
Does that count for your
next attack? Next
Does
episode.
Yes. All right, you got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Precedent is if you roll a nat 20 at home and take a picture and send it to your DM,
you can use that anytime.
For free.
You just have to promise that you do not roll a dice until your next. That's the only time you can roll that dice.
Yeah. Sweet.
Why do you want that win, too? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's the fun of it is the gamble, is the anticipation of everybody coming together and showing that you're whomping the DM. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To just quietly hide that and then be like, by the way, I did my homework by myself.
Right. It was probably...
So go ahead and make your attack. Actually, it's 15 damage.
Yeah. I rolled it last week. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Great.
Again, I think it's probably a sign that your table was having fun while you were doing math. They were all
just
getting
enjoy
into...
the heat. Yeah. Just enjoy the heat. Enjoy and the also, heat. If you've got like a big table or something, there are games where this could work, where somebody can... You can like pre-roll your stuff if things are taking a long time.
We are setting precedent right now.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an edict.
You can pre-roll your damage, but you can't pre-roll your...
Yeah. I'm putting this one in stone.
Okay.
Okay. So ordered then. And with that, shall we step into church?
Yeah, I think so.
And I've already been this morning, but let's go again.
Good. This one's actually pretty dire.
Okay.
My heart goes out to Alana O. Hello, benevolent high priests of Dice Christ and Jake. I'm actually a member of the clergy, so I resent that.
He ascends.
Let's disbar Jake from the clergy.
Church! This is absurd.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to believe in Dice Christ anymore.
He's Jake Clergewitch.
Clergewitch. Although this is not a confession, I need the wisdom of the Church of Dice Christ.
Wow.
I feel as though I have been forsaken by Dice Christ. I would normally never say anything so blasphemous, but I've never heard of such a series of horrible rolls.
Oh, no.
Our campaign is using Roll20 for battle mats and dice rolling. And during one session that lasted about 3 hours, I rolled 3 nat 1s. Mm-hmm. I felt dejected, but was determined to come back stronger. Next session, I came back with an optimistic attitude, but was met with even more failure. I rolled another 4 nat 1s. In two sessions, I rolled a total of 12 times, and 7 of them were nat 1s.
Yeah, that's not good.
Which means that during 2 sessions, 58.3% of my rolls were critical failures. Not just below 10, but full 1s.
Yeah. Okay.
My oath of vengeance, Paladin Scourge Asimar, is now knocking on death's door after this series of failures. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is my faith in Dice Christ being tested?
Yes.
Or have I been forsaken for some unknowing sin?
Okay, so are they using the roll 20 roller?
Yeah, for sure. That's what they said.
You think it's a faulty roller?
Then I think you just need to go ahead. Although, they have to because probably it's all they don't on the, want
look,
you to roll
at
it.
The end of the day... You are just being tested.
Yes.
And this is going to make the highs feel even higher and feel even better. And also, Dice Christ has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about a little guy named Dice Christ.
Let me tell you.
Takes out a guitar.
Yeah. You know what? Dice Christ is playing a little joke on you. Mm-hmm. We all agree this is very funny.
It's so
you
funny.
You rolled it 7
funny.
Times. That's
truly wild.
58.3%.
You're being tested.
I threw my head back and laughed. You're being beyond tested. You're being fucked with.
Okay. You know what? Let's roll. Let's bless some dice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's send you some rolls. Let's send you some good ones. So,
all right, Alana. That's a good idea.
Okay. So I'm gonna roll for you real quick.
Okay.
I got a 3.
I'm rolling some serpent dice that Murph gave me for Christmas.
Wow. Okay.
18.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm rolling a green dice that glows in the middle. 9.
Okay. I'm rolling, I believe this is an original Beverly dice. Let's see.
Wow.
That's a 16.
Okay. Right. So that's pretty average roll.
Hey,
maybe you'll get a 10 next time.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah. And here, you know what? I'm pretty cursed. Let me see if I keep rolling and I do really bad. That's a 4. So I'm also cursed. Uh-huh.
I would say whenever I have like a really bad streak of rolling really poorly, it's like you feel bad, bad, bad. And then at a certain point, it becomes very funny.
Yeah.
And that is a good feeling too.
I hate how much I want you to roll more nat ones.
I know.
And it doesn't make me feel good.
You know what? Dice Christ is looking out for you because someday your DM's going to cast Dominate Person on you and you're just not going to be able to hit because you're going to be rolling all these ones.
Yep.
Ooh. Yeah,
exactly.
I thought you were going to say, and you're going to crit. And it won't
you're
going to
crit.
And
you're no, it'll work.
You're still
no, you're
going to
get a 1.
Now.
You're going to get a 1. You're going to fail that wisdom save for sure. But we're laughing with you.
We're laughing with you.
And Dice Christ laughs
I
with you.
I think that this sounds painful, but also by, I think, the 5th one, I'm laughing a lot.
You're absolutely going to lose your shit when you get a nat 20. Right?
And that's what Dice Christ wants. Dice Christ wants your faith to be tested so it can be restored in a magnificent way.
When you were telling the story, I thought maybe they're just like in a campaign where they're rolling a lot and you're like out of a... total of 12 dives, I rolled seven.
More than half. More than half ones. That's a wild.
That's not a lot of rolls.
It's really wild.
Oh
yeah,
that I would really think
yeah, especially with roll 20, you might be like, oh, maybe something glitched something.
You're being tested, but also give your computer a hard reboot and buff the cache.
Why don't you go ahead and start a new account? Maybe do a different roll.
Yeah, you might have gotten flagged. Yeah. You might be shadow banned.
Yeah,
bust the cache. Bust the cache.
Yeah, definitely bust the cache. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. So ordered, so forgiven. Mm-hmm. You are being
so
tested.
Forgiven. Yes, and, so encouraged.
You're absolved. You are going to roll more net
ones. Going to test. Yes. You're going to be tested. Thank you all so much for listening. We will be doing some bonus cases over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod.
Believe it.
NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Weep,
don't do
weep.
It. Yes, we'll be doing that. Do we have anything we'd like to plug?
Shit.
Not really. We don't have any shows coming up. Yeah. Thanks for coming out to the shows. I'm sure we had a blast.
So smooth, so serene. Smooth. Plugless.
Yes, plugless. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at SiegeMerchMe, at Call These Caldwell.
We are.
No.
Whoa.
At YakShirt is Emily, and at JakeMerch is Jake.
We are.
Don't sing yet. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are. Youth of the Nation, we are Youth of the Nation.
Ah, it is time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, and they are Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Feared Al, Daniel G., Happy Anniversary NADPOD from the Sword Wielding Wizard, Dungeon Mama, Not Sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Vincent W., Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwind, TJ M., Trele the Cray, Christopher B., Damiel R., Jordan L., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Caldwell is Pulling a FF7 Remake with the 5-Year Anniversary Crossover, Princess Yar, Michael L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C. has starred in every film ever made in Bohemia, currently starring in the Papa biopic, Possum Passion, hell yeah. Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Great Value Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Knee Badger, Panama James, Andrew the Druid, Heradrian, Rex Thaniel the White, Captain Sigil, Diana D. L. L, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Lucas B., Rako, It's Kevin, Calder's Calculated Cunning, Climatic, Clever, Crescendo, Ultras, hashtag Can't Come Cold. Okay. Taylor B., The Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Stephen C., Mike K., Lady Taco, Brian G., Joy T., Nara, Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Esme M., Hobson, Son of Hop, Foster the Boneless Duck, William W., Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee, Golf Bud, Anna Rama, Zachary A., Percival Fredrickson, Von Muscle, Klawowski, DiRollo the Third, Power Shiver of Bohemia, Quiver Against the River of the Pea Shiver, Can't Wait to See You All in Adelaide, Even Jake, thank you for that, J. Dragonborn, Vincent, Oh God, I'm Thrumming, D., The Sandrean, Ben A., Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H., Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F, Brittany A, the purplest bitch in Bohemia, hell yeah, Summer R, Marky Mark, the marvelous mining engineer, Cat C, Kel Slay, Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel, the occasional mermaid, Selena N, aka Valesi Raptor, B Perky Always, Pat L, Savexel, Achutha A, Lauren H, Talia, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, Robert Crisp, Ball Business Illustrator, insert request, let's check out the Triplets Worshipping the Trident. Why not? Ploops, Carly A, Suicidal Lobster, Addie K, Spam Gaming, the Not So Skilled, Gamer, thanks Jake, okay. Connor Savage, Russell H, Christopher J, Pebblepot, to the deriders, my first, never mind, we died, I'm a turtle now. Salil, Jack M, Leviathan, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trubhop Dropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Crabster, Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Towards Tomorrow, Fanderay, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, working all day and night to restock Shanky Candles, thank you for that. Valen, Carlin C, Emily S, Harry Cox, Noah, the bagel of all things, everything, Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey, Dandy, Eric B, Marcos P, Jordan P, the occasional crit reporter, Coint hopes you are having an amazing day. Nice. Learns the balance, Druid, Dayton M, Dakota JP, Frida M, Pagos, betrothed, self-proclaimed, Faye Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E, Holly H, Kristen Z, Leah C, Paige H, Helen of Briz, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash Thakkar, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Monster Hunter Neos, the restless spirit of Simon asking Juicy Kiwi to be a squire for hire and inspire a fire of ire to inquire why he expired. Keychains, Pentium 2, processor, awesome. Lorelei, the succubus, and Kira, her busty queen. Michael, the Esri Pop idol. Morgan M, Stephen E, your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F, M4L, wayfarer, now trapped in the Feywild after not fully reading the terms and conditions of their legal settlement with Mothership. Andrew B, Sir Smut, Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer America. Emeritus of Water Deep, Mary B. C. Milora Devotee, Three Awakened Gooses, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Dana Daisy, Sean J., Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain, Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go All the Stops Show, Winter Slade, Michaela R., Forrest H., a.k.a. Life is Like a Box of Martha Togold Sticky Buns, Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, your boy Anthony who moved positions and can't listen to the podcast at work anymore, Josh H., Jack the Jax, Jinking Rogue, on the run with Bohemia's Balls, the true neutral BBEG who is saving the material plane from an apocalypse, thank you for that, Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T., Caleb L.S., this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag C. CC, happy birthday, Pixie. Ponderful the Pink Dragon. Cantrip, Dumbledore the Bear Wearing Onesie. Barbarian with a Bad Back. MJ the BFG, Drinking Tea by the Sea. Dogs of Babel. Calvius, Silverfang, Gino T. Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself. Funeer, Strawman, 18 Wheels of Rubber and Steel. Dr. Tulkus, Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats. Remix, Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats and Boots and Cats. Derek D, Tristan G, Cal the Rabid Runt, Jazzman and Fam, the surgeons behind Pendergreen's juicy new ass, Alpha Fortress, Alex K, Joshua P, and Joshua P.S. Thanks, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.